Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
How many versions of Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah are there? Well, Newsweek just posted the rankings of 60, from best to, well, worst. That was Michael Bolton, before him Britain's Susan Boyle, the Canadian tenors Jeff Gutt. They're not all that bad, but the best are so good.
Now I've heard there was a secret chord that David played, and it pleased the Lord.
But it goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall and the major lift, the baffled king composing.
Katie Lang, Jeff Buckley, and of course, Leonard Cohen. The Newsweek rankings reminded us of our exploration of Hallelujah, a song that was rejected by Leonard Cohen's record label when he first recorded it in 1984. No one paid any attention. Now it's played every Saturday night on the Israeli Defense Forces radio network. Bono said it might be the most perfect song in the world. Brandi Carlile slept with a boombox playing a loop of it for 8 or 9 hours every night when she was young. It's been seen hundreds of millions of times on YouTube. Cohen's version has 30 million views. Journalist Alan Light traced the arc of the story of Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah in his book, The Holy or the Broken, Leonard Cohen, Jeff Buckley, and the Unlikely Ascent of Hallelujah. When we spoke in 2012, I asked him why he first started to even think about this.
Well, what prompted me was, as kind of hokey as this sounds, it's actually true. I was in Yom Kippur services. Here's the holiest day of the Jewish calendar, and the choir came out and they sang Hallelujah. Everybody there knew the song. They were weeping. It was a very emotional moment. And this was the same year that Katie Lang had sung it at the Winter Olympic opening ceremonies. Justin Timberlake sang it at the Haiti telethon following the earthquake. And I just started to think about what I knew about this story and realized there was a trajectory that this song went through that really didn't compare to any other song that I could think of.
It's funny you tell that story because it seems as if everyone has their own moment where they intersect with the song. And I was just thinking that ours was, we had heard it, but when it really put a spear through our heart, we had gone to New York on the first anniversary of 9/11, and we were going to do, as in addition to our coverage, we were going to do a story on New Yorkers learning to use a trapeze, which had been set up, it turns out, in the shadow of where the World Trade Towers were. And it turns out that the people that we met who had come there were going on the trapeze to try to overcome their fear of 9/11. And so we used Jeff Buckley's version, to sort of, play against this sound of these people using the trapeze. And that was where it sort of shot an arrow through my heart.
September 11 does figure in to the story of this song that VH1 used the Jeff Buckley version for their video of tribute video to the rescue workers that was in sort of constant rotation in the days after September 11. And that was, I think, one of the uses of this song that really did kind of cement it in the public's imagination.
So, of course, we have to ask, why didn't it take off when it was first recorded way back in 1984? And to ask that question, let's talk just a little bit about the song as we say, most people have heard it, but people are drawn to the music, others are drawn to the lyrics. Start with the lyrics. In the original Leonard Cohen version, they're biblical, they're sexy. You write blend of sacred and sexual. That's, you know, sort of defines Leonard Cohen. But what's it about?
What Leonard Cohen has said is what he was trying to do was take this concept of hallelujah, this idea that comes, you know, directly from the Old Testament, and just say, in all of our lives, we face difficulty and struggle and pain, and sometimes all you can do is just kind of throw up your hands and stand back and look at the wonder of it all and the amazement of being alive and say hallelujah.
And just some of the lyrics, we'll have them at hearnow.org. Touches on the biblical stories of King David and Samson. The first lyrics, I've heard there was a secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord. And then it goes on to talk about, you know, being tied to a kitchen chair to cut someone's hair. You say I took the name in vain. I don't even know the name. But if I did, well, really, what's it to you? So a little bit of the sacred, a little bit of the profane, and lyrics that were changed through the years. We'll touch on that, but why was it rejected when Leonard Cohen first recorded it?
It's 1984. Leonard is 50 years old, and this is the year that is really the, in some ways, the biggest year ever in pop music history. It's the year of Purple Rain and Born in the USA and Like a Virgin and Thriller is still going. MTV is ruling the world. And, you know, the a fantastic line from the legendary record man, Walter Yetnikoff, who was the head of Leonard's label. When he turned down the album, he said, Leonard, we all know that you're great. We just can't tell if you're any good. We know we're supposed to respect your work, but we don't know if anybody's really going to buy this thing. Obviously, now it sounds insane that he turned in this song that would become one of the most recorded songs of, you know, of all time. But when the record came out on a small independent label a little bit later, none of the reviews of the record picked up on Hallelujah at all. So it's not like this thing was, you know, a gem that the label was too blind to see. Nobody could see it.
And of course, that's changed. If you're just joining us, we're revisiting a conversation with Alan Light about his book, The Holy or the Broken, Leonard Cohen, Jeff Buckley, and the Unlikely Ascent of Hallelujah. Newsweek just released a ranking of 60 versions of the song. Alan documents how it went from unknown to world famous, and the link between the two, Jeff Buckley. Now, he has an impossibly bittersweet backstory. His father, folk singer Tin Buckley, died of a drug overdose at 28. And maybe Jeff infuses his hallelujah with the pain of never knowing his dad. But then Jeff also died young, at 30. He drowned while swimming in the Mississippi River. And now the song is conflated with his death.
Well, I heard there was a secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do you? Well, it goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall and the major lift, the baffled king composing hallelujah, hallelujah. Faith was strong, but you needed proof. You saw her bathing on the roof. Her beauty and the moonlight overthrew you. And she tied you to her kitchen chair. And she broke your throne and she cut your hair. And from your lips she drew the hallelujah.
Here's Alan Light.
Several people in the book described it the same way. They said that when you listen to Jeff's recording, it's like you're listening in on something you're not supposed to be hearing. But what you hear is, you know, a young man discovering heartbreak and pain and yearning when Jeff Buckley died a couple of years later in a, you know, almost unbelievably, you know, it almost seems fictional rock and roll death. You know, there became all of this mystery and romance and all of this stuff around Jeff Buckley. And when people went back to his music, Hallelujah became sort of this real-time epitaph for him.
So, you know, his version, it also becomes the anthem for 9/11. I mean, it's all tied together in this terrible sadness.
Jeff Buckley's version really, you know, becomes the template for most of the versions that then follow. There are some of the older artists who went back and clearly based their versions on Leonard's recording, but most people who subsequently encountered this song, it really was first through the lens of Jeff Buckley's version.
You say I took the name in vain. I don't even know the name. But if I did, well, really, what's it to you?
And of course, Jeff Buckley's would not have been possible without this man, Leonard Cohen. Alan Light's book is The Holy or the Broken, Leonard Cohen, Jeff Buckley, and the Unlikely Ascent of Hallelujah. We spoke in 2012. Leonard Cohen is now 80. His last album, Popular Problems, got rave reviews. He's up for 4 Juno Awards in Canada, where he was born. The winners will be announced March 15th. You're listening to Here and Now.